As we prepare now to hear the word of God read and proclaimed, let us pray. Dear God, your word is more precious than fine gold and sweeter than pure honey. As we turn now to your scripture, send your Holy Spirit to infuse your word with truth and grace so that the good news of your love will shine before our eyes and delight our senses so that we cannot help but respond with Advent hope. And all God's people say, Amen. Since there are more children here than usual at this time, I want to talk specifically to the kids for just a minute. Grown-ups can listen in. So girls and boys, while I've been here at Morningside, I have been asking three questions. I've asked people about a high, a low, and a hope. So let me explain what that means, and then maybe you can be thinking about that too. A high, something wonderful that has happened to you here at Morningside Church. A low, has there ever been a time when you felt sad here at Morningside Church? And then a hope, what do you hope and pray will happen here at Morningside Church? So those are the three, a high, a low, and a hope. And everyone is invited to give me their answers, high, low, and hope. This morning we lit the candle of hope because it's the first Sunday of Advent. And you kids have probably heard from Pastor Mardi that Advent, that's the name for the weeks that lead up to Christmas. But it is way more than just counting down until we get to open those packages under the tree. Advent is when we think about how God wants us to live. Now, God certainly wants us to live with hope. And as you think about what else it is, then I hope that you'll tell me what that might be. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about some people called the Thessalonians. Right now, we have only one candle of hope, but in a few minutes, you're going to see how powerful that candle of hope is. First, though, the Thessalonians. We call them Thessalonians because they lived in the city of Thessalonica in Greece. We've just finished our Love Feast meal, but the Love Feast idea continues in today's reading, in which the Apostle Paul prays that his new little church in Thessalonica will abound in love for one another and for all. 1 Thessalonians is the oldest document in the entire New Testament. So through it, we are glimpsing the very early church. Paul was in Thessalonica around the year 49. Like I said, this is very early church. Jesus' life and death are still easily within living memory. Now, while in the city, Paul does what he did everywhere, which is proclaim that Jesus of Nazareth is the long-awaited Messiah. Some Jews and many Greeks are converted to this belief, but others get so upset with Paul that he is forced to flee under cover of night. He continues his work as a traveling evangelist, but he never forgets about those brave Thessalonians. He tries to visit them, but he can't. And so he sends his colleague, Timothy, who comes back with the wonderful news that the church is thriving. And so Paul sits down and writes them a letter. This is a reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may God so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
That last bit of the reading is where this text intersects with Advent. Paul starts talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus. You see, in addition to the news that that little church was indeed hanging together, Timothy also brought from Thessalonica a question, an Advent-like question. The Thessalonians, and quite possibly all very early Christians, they had been expecting Jesus to return right away. And since that hasn't happened, they are asking their absent pastor what to make of this. Paul takes a shot at explaining how the return of Christ will happen, but Paul's emphasis in this letter is on how we are to live faithfully in the meantime. And his prayer for the church is that the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. That is how the Thessalonians and all of us are to live in preparation for Christ's return, whether we understand that literally or figuratively. We are not to get bogged down in some timeline that we cannot control. Instead, we are to focus on what we can control. We can live each day as if Jesus were at the door. So, what would that life look like? Well, sort of like a love feast. Everyone is served, regardless of age, race, gender, sexual orientation, marital status, economic status, zip code, politics. Everyone shares with everyone here. But it's way more than that, way more than what we experienced here this morning. We are to love one another and love all. This love is to go beyond our known community. This love is to go to people we don't know, to people we don't like. This is to go to people who think differently and look different and vote differently. Now, knowing that this is easier said than done, Paul presents the idea in prayer because God is the source of this love, this agape love. God is the source, but we have a part to play. We are participants. God is the source, and we are the conduits, the channels, at our very best, which is what Advent calls us to. We are the holy means by which God's love is expressed everywhere. To one and to all. As H. Richard Niebuhr put it, the purpose of the church is the increase of the love of God and neighbor. In a nutshell, that's our mission. And Advent is a season to focus on it as if Jesus were at the door. Since this is not only the season of Advent, but also our commitment season, I'll remind you that Morningside Presbyterian expresses love internally and externally through your commitment of time and talent and treasure. It is never only about money, but it is also never not about money. And I know you know that, because in the answers that I have already received to my question about a high, a low, and a hope, I have heard such beautiful stories about this faith community. Stories of improvisational generosity and sacrificial commitment. Stories of hospitality to all who enter our doors and outreach to all who are beyond our doors. And I've heard inspiring hopes. Hope that this congregation will flourish as a place of welcome for all people. Hope that servant leadership will be our priority. Hope that we will be effective throughout all creation as the hands and feet and voice and love of Christ. Having been here only a month, I don't have the perspective yet to name a high and a low. I have those every day. but I will offer this hope. I hope that we may build upon our blessings, which include diversity, passion, and abundance, which include children and youth, young adults and old adults, and which include love for one another and for all. In worship planning, Emma and Jonathan and Mardi and I decided that the gift that this church could give all of us in this hectic season would be a moment of simple, quiet stillness during each Advent worship service. And as we enter into the first of those, I invite you to think not about a high, a low, and a hope. I do hope you'll do that, but I want you to do that on your own time. Right now, I invite you to prayerfully think about what your life looks like when it is led as a faithful member of a congregation that is increasing and abounding in love for one another and for all.